The three villages of Batamia climb up the hillside from a river, which gives them their name, and which certainly didn't warrant our muleteers' desire to avoid it. It was really ridiculous to see these great strong men standing on the brink of the stream, which at most wouldn't take them above their knees, and saying that they feared to take cold. At length, one of them, braver than the others, took off his shoes and stockings and led the mules across until we were all high and dry on the other side. And soon we found ourselves halting for the night in the village of Mesopotamia. Everything around was luxuriously fertile, maidenhair, Cretan moss, and wild flowers innumerable lined the path, though it was but a few days after Christmas, and orange and citron orchards, heavy with fruit, covered the slopes. Above these towered in sombre dignity a few tall fir trees and cypresses, up the stems of which the vines are trained, like ivy in Ireland. Rocks of fantastic shapes mingled with the verdure, and behind the three villages rose a deserted fortress of medieval times. By the side of our rocky path an angry stream bounded, and now and again the path itself was turned into a watercourse, up which the mules had much difficulty in making their way. Certainly these river villages were seen to the greatest advantage when approached, as was now the case, by a cataract. We came to a halt at a dirty house, where we had to sit for hours, whilst a palace, they said, was being prepared for our reception, and where lots of people came in to see us. Unpleasant, rascally looking people, of a different type to any we had yet seen in the Cyclades. They constantly plied us with coffee, raki, and sweets as we waited for the hen we had purchased to be boiled. And they played persistently for our benefit on the pipes, or the panpipe and the drum. When shepherds play the panpipe on the hillside, it's romantic enough. The instrument is a simple one, just two reeds hollowed out and placed side by side in a larger reed. Straws run up the smaller reeds, and there are the necessary blowholes. But in a tiny cottage, the shrill sound of the panpipes accompanied by a drum almost drove us wild, tired and hungry as we were, so we had to pretend to headaches and asked for repose. Our palace was at length ready. It was the summer residence of a Greek from the town, who had left the key in charge of the village blacksmith. And in summer, I dare say, it might be a charming residence with its hanging gardens and balconies covered with creepers and vines, but then there wasn't a pane of glass in the whole house, nothing but ill-fitting shutters to keep out the rain and the wind. A bed was rigged up for us in a storeroom full of oranges by placing a mattress on some boards, which mattress felt as if it had been made of walnuts, and the rain poured in from the roof, so that our waterproofs and umbrellas were again in requisition. Next morning it rained again, but not too heavily to prevent our climbing up to the medieval camp above Upper Batamia.